We're going to jump right into it today. I enjoy this time of year, you know, something about worshiping the birth of our Savior and why God sent him. If you kind of understand the whole story of how it unfolded through the Old Testament, it's just a powerful story of redemption, of what the sacrifice that God, you know, went through and sent in his own Son on our behalf, so that we can come back into relationship or fellowship with him. And we've been on a series. We started off talking about by your word, and then we went by your spirit, and then we had a little break last week. We had a little Christmas program here, and that went awesome. So the kids did, and the adults all did a great job. And then today we're going to look at by your love, And we're going to look at that from what the scripture says, you know, love in a cradle is really what it was. And God's love to me is way off the charts. It's no way you can measure it. It does whatever it takes and will never run out on you and will stay with you to the end. And that's the kind of love that we need in our life. Amen?
Amen.
That kind of love that won't turn its back on us. And the greatest gift for all eternity was when God gave his Son. But also the greatest snub of alternity is when people refuse God's gift to man. Because it's something that we have to do, because whenever somebody gives us a gift, we have to receive it or we don't really have it, correct? You know, somebody can say, I gave you a gift, but if you never open that gift, if you never take that gift and use it, then it's all in vain. Now, preaching on love for me, I'll just be honest, is hard for me. Because my default setting, suck it up, buttercup. You know what I'm saying? You know, I just, that's how I'm built. And I have to really work at loving. I mean, I think I do a halfway decent job most of the time. But, you know, I'm a kind of guy that if you don't work, you don't eat. You know, I mean, that's just how I was raised. And, you know, you just did what you had to do. But anyway, you know, God's love, when I received it into my life, it changed me a little bit. Well, it changed me a lot. And, you know, hopefully, you know, I'll be able to share that today. The passage that I want to look at is Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. And it says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come to you here in these last days, Lord. We thank you that we are here for such a time as this. Lord, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ coming the first time, but we long for his second coming.
Yes.
Lord, I yield to the gift you give me. I use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. And Lord, for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so jumping into this, first point I want to look at is the idea that love knows no barrier. Just a little basic thing that we probably all know, but I just want to make sure, is that we understand that sin made a separation between God and his creation. You know, God is a holy God, and we're not, okay? It's kind of like trying to put water and fire in the same thing. Those two things just don't get along. Either the water is going to burn or put out the fire, or the fire is going to make the water boil off. Something has to give. They can't live together. And see, even though, you know, God in his infinite wisdom, he chose to do it away because he had to, because when he gave man the title deed to this planet, and then man sold that out to Satan, God had to play by the rules. And the rule was that he had to get a second Adam down here to be able to fix what the first Adam messed up. And see, that's why Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ is that second Adam, and we won't go into the in-depth on the teaching of through the Old Testament. But, you know, sin separates us, and there's a lot of things that bring division. Now, when I was a kid, I mean, I know there was division out there, but one of the biggest divisions was either you're a Ford man or a Chevy man. You know what I mean? I mean, that really caused some division, you know, especially between my dad and my uncle. One was a Chevy guy, and we were Ford people. And whatever the case happens, but, you know, it's not like that anymore. It's worse. I mean, politics. I mean, there's people that are maybe family members that cannot be in the same room because of politics now. That's how big that division is, you know. And it's the same way that the division between, you know, some people who are pro-shot and some people who are against the shot. You know, they get in arguments about things. You know, so all these things are there, and they cause a big chasm. But the chasm between God and man was far wider than between, I just want to throw this out here, between maybe a Donald Trump and a Nancy Pelosi. I mean, those two didn't see eye to eye. Would we agree on that? They were totally opposites. Well, because of sin in our life, we are totally opposite from God. So that's why God sent the second Adam. The baby Jesus came down, and he couldn't do it like he did before to create another man out of dirt. God had to play by the rules that he set up, you know, seed time and harvest, and the idea of reproduction and things like that. So we're not going to go in depth on the incarnation and how that all take place. We've already talked about that a little bit, about how the Holy Spirit came upon Mary and she became pregnant with the Son of God. And there's a lot of things that came in place. And, you know, God is always looking for a way to unite you and I. Now, there's many ways that we do it. And one way is being here today. You know, the Bible says, don't forsake your assembling together in Hebrews 10. But, you know, that's how we come together. People, you may not see to eye with everybody in this room, but we have one thing in common. That's the fact that we're Christian. We can celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. See, Jesus brings unity to our lives. He brings love so that we can have love for each other. And only through Christ can we have that. Also through the communion table, when we partake of communion together, that's another uniting thing. We celebrate, you know, the sacrifice that Jesus made for us, and we partake of the cracker we use. And, you know, it's a celebration of the fact that we are taking His body, His life inside of us. And then when we partake of the cup of grape juice, you know, it's a symbol that we're saying yes and amen to the blood covenant that was cut on our behalf. There's power in that, and that's the love that God has for us. And also through worship, we have great worship today. You know, as we lift our voices to God all together, it draws us in unity, one together. You know, the power of that is just awesome. So those are things that God wants to do, as well as prayer, to try to unite us. And it's important that we do that. And the idea was the fact that love, to me, bridged the gap. There always has to be a bridge to get across the gap, okay? Always has to be a bridge. When we have two different parties that are so opposite from each other, there has to be a go-between, a mediator, and that's why Jesus Christ came. He was an innocent baby laying in a manger, you know, born 100% God and 100% man. The 100% man gave him the opportunity to come into this world, to be able to fulfill the law, and to be able to never sin, and then be able to go to the cross, and then the power of God that was on his life, and the fact that he went to that cross. And we've all heard the saying that even if the nails weren't in his hands or in his feet, his love would have held him there. That's the love that God has for you and I. Amen. It's something that I could never really understand. It's something you have to experience, and that only happens when you become born again. When you become born again and the new life of Christ comes inside of you, and it's a feeling that cannot be explained, but it has to be something that we experience. He was the pre-existent one. He was all-powerful God, and he chose to empty himself of his divine authority. Just emptied himself of it, threw all his power and strength away, and came down as a baby, innocent and helpless, depending on other people to take care of him. The one who holds the heavens and earth together now had to be tended to. That's the power of that love. I don't think we understand what that gap was and what it took to get across that gap. Because, you know, I don't know what, I shared this a little bit the other day, I think, but, you know, the idea of us, you know, it wouldn't even be in comparison, but it's us that are very agile and be able to do anything with our hands and our feet and our eyes and our mouth and be able to cut our hands off and our legs off and cut out our tongue and blind our eyes. And still, to me, Jesus Christ gave up so much more than that. The power of God. And if you've tasted it, you know what I'm talking about. Thank you. The power of God operating in his life. See, Jesus Christ, God the Son, became as we are so that we could become as he is, a child of God. That's what he wanted. That's what he wanted to bring us back. Philippians 2:7 says, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. You know, how amazing is that? That the all-powerful one became the all-helpless one. To me, God risked everything. because he felt that we were worth the risk. And I want you to experience that today, that God, no matter what, he would have built a bridge just to get you. That's how much God loves you. That's how important it is that we receive the free gift that he has. You know, I heard a story. The first time I heard it was when I was in a missions class in Bible school, and I, you know, maybe looked at it a time before. I don't know, maybe I've mentioned here. Been here 25 years, hard to remember everything you say, you know what I mean? But anyway, it's talking about the peace child, okay? And the Richardson family, I think I got his name right here. It's Don Richardson, his wife, and their 7-month son went to Dutch New Guinea in 1962 to the Sawi tribe. They were cannibalistic headhunters. That was a test to your faith. I don't know about you. I can understand myself going, but taking my wife and my child, you know, that's a big step. Well, they went down there and he learned the language. He just poured his life into this and he wanted to give them the gospel and, you know, to be able to see them come out of that way of, you know, killing and eating other people and headhunters, you know, whatever that all entailed. And he did that. And then he tried to share the gospel with them. And as he shared the gospel with them, their worldviews, you know what a worldview is how you interpret the world around you. They were so far apart that the tribe considered Judas the hero and Jesus Christ was the dupe, because their mentality of how they interacted and how they governed their lives. Well, all of a sudden, the war kind of broke out. One of the other tribes attacked the tribes where these people were staying. And after a couple weeks, there were many people dying. And he was ready to take his family and leave and said, you know, this isn't working. You know, we can't do this. Then all of a sudden, something happened. The chief of the tribe took his infant son and he gave it to the enemy for the enemy to raise his son. And that son would then stay with that enemy tribe and live with them forever. And they called that the peace child. And see, that's a redemptive analogy. And so what did, it just turned everything around. He was able to preach the gospel and say that Jesus Christ is the peace child. And it opened the door to see a lot of those tribes saved and come into the kingdom of God. See, that's love. That's love, being able to preach the gospel and bring people into the truth of what it's really talking about. My second point I'd like to say today is that love is right on time. Sometimes, because the way we're wired, we kind of think God's late, don't we? Because we want something right now. You know, we live in an on-demand society. You know, we just hit a button, we can have whatever we want, whenever we want, as long as the internet's working, right? If your internet's down, well, then that's different. But as long as we have internet, we can hit a button, we can have everything that we want. And so we're so used to getting what we want, when we want it, just because we want it. And that really messes us up when we're trying to interact with God, because God, he doesn't do it. He doesn't do it our way. He does it in his time. And his time is different than our time many times. Now, when Jesus Christ came, you know, I'm sure it would have been a desperate time. There had been 400 years of silence from God through the prophets to the people of Israel. I mean, all through the Old Testament, they were, you know, God would send a message to a prophet and the prophet would deliver that message and the people could either choose to accept or reject that message. So it was kind of hard, you know. Could you imagine, you know, our country is over 200 years old and look how messed up we got. You know, our country was started on godly Christian principles. I mean, the whole system was set up that way. But now through, you know, whatever the way is, you know, secularism has come in and it's kind of messed up the way we do things. And that was only over 200 years. Can you imagine 400 years without hearing from God? I mean, they had the scriptures, of course. So what happened then at this 400 years, just at the right time? Remember, Jesus came, you know, God said at the fullness of time. And at this 400 years, and you know, it was a time between Malachi the prophet and John the Baptist when, you know, God brought him on the scene. And what happened is that a lot of different things started to rise up. You know, different sects, shall we say, tried to interpret the scripture. You got your Sadducees, the Pharisees, you had other political groups and things rising up, trying to take over. And all I could see from that is confused people, right? Confused people. When people don't know the truth, they start to make things up and then it doesn't go good. But when that fullness of time came, and it really was a kind of an interesting time what happened. You've maybe heard this before. See, the Greeks had already been had conquered much of that area. And what they did is they tried to make everybody speak one common language so they could communicate. So it was mandatory that everybody learn Greek. You could still keep your other language, but you had to learn Greek. Well, then the Romans came, and they defeated the Greeks. And what they did is they put in a bunch of roads. So it was easy to get around and to be able to spread the gospel. And then also, with the nation of Israel, that 400 years of darkness, many of them were crying out for the deliverer. They were hungry for the Messiah. They wanted saved from Rome. Even though Rome did a good thing building the jobs and or building the roads, and there was a kind of peace, there wasn't war around them anymore, they didn't want to be controlled by Rome, as you and I probably wouldn't like that. So it was a ripe time, a ripe season, and all of a sudden God sent Jesus, but it wasn't the deliverer that they wanted. They wanted a warrior. He was the peace child. He was the one that was going to come to bring peace between God and man. And that is something that man really needed. And see, they all thought maybe God had forgotten them. And have you ever felt that way? Maybe you're going through a trial. Maybe you're going through something in your life that's very hard. And you pray and you pray and you pray and you wait, and it just hasn't come yet. You know, it's frustrating sometimes. But I want you to know that God is always on time, in His time. And He's going to do it His way. And we can put our faith and our trust in that. And, you know, the whole idea about love is kind of an interesting concept because, you know, to me, love is not sacrifice if it's really love. And that's my third point. The idea of what love is really all about. Now, the Bible talks about this kind of love as being agape love. We've heard that word before. There are several words in the Greek that talk about love. You have eros love. That's just kind of the love between, you know, a man and a woman. That's the way it was supposed to be, that, you know, erotic love. And then you got phielo love, which is fellowship love between, you know, brothers and sisters and those in the Lord and friends. You know, we have that kind of love. But then the third love that we really need to get into, and that's the word agape love. That's the God kind of love. And you find that kind of love, you know, you can look at your leisure in 1 Corinthians 13. It's a kind of love that is so powerful, it's hard to imagine that we walk in that, because, you know, the kind of love usually that you and I probably operate in, now maybe you're more spiritual than I am, you probably are, but we have this idea of love that if you love me, I'll love you love. You know, love you, love me love. Love me not, or I won't love you. See, we call it that. See, God's unconditional love is why we practice it, you know, is what I'm saying. But if you love me, I will love you back, love. If you love me, I'll love you back. But if you don't love me, I don't love you back. Okay? That's how we roll. That's not agape love. But see, the kind of love that God's talking about is that I tell you I love you, and you can spit on my face, you can punch me in the face, and I will still tell you I love you. Because I don't care what you say. I don't care what you do. I choose love. I choose to love you. And, you know, we get kind of messed up sometimes. We think that's sacrifice. But if it's love, it's not sacrifice, because that pain doesn't come into it anymore. Because it's just love. That's all it is. Agape love. Agape love will do whatever it takes to be able to get what needs to be done. And the power of that love. See, God's love is an action, and it demands no response in return. And see, that is where we need to get as a group of Christians, as Christ followers, to try to find out what that love. Now, just to be honest, as I said in the beginning, I'm a suck it up buttercup kind of guy, and, you know, I still want to hold on to some of that because I help people to be better. But, you know, in the Bible it talks about the fruit of the Spirit, right? And the fruit of the Spirit, to me the word Spirit is the capital S, you know, the Holy Spirit, amen? The first fruit there is love. And so what I found out with my lightning-quick intellect after a few years, is the fact that it's that love that God puts in me. If I choose to yield to that love, I can walk in this kind of love. It's nothing that I can conjure up or derive upon my own, but it's just something, you know, that God has put inside of me that at any time I can tap into that love. That's a choice of my free will. Do I want to walk in love, or do I not want to walk in love? You can practice this at home anytime you want. Let's say you and somebody, you and the missus, or you and the mister, aren't getting along. Let's say the other person's mad or angry at you because you did something stupid. You know what I'm saying? Anybody ever done something stupid? Well, you can enter in. You can argue right back. Or you can choose just to love. Just love. And that's a good opportunity to test this thing, see if it works or not. It works. Believe me, I've tested it. And I know my wife tested it. She walks in love all the time. Well, not all the time. Don't put her in pressure on her. Let's just say she walks in love a lot better than I do. But I've drug her down a little bit. You know, I've got her down to where she don't walk in love. So it's a little more even. No. But see, that's God's love is unconditional. And it's just not a sacrifice. I just want us to see that. And it demands an action because God's love empties of itself as all status and just serves. See, that's why Jesus Christ, you know, he was the rabbi, he was the leader, he was the teacher. Everybody was following him and, you know, they were going and getting him stuff. You know what I'm saying? You know, they was carrying his stuff for him and just loving on him. Who wouldn't? I mean, my gosh, the guy casts out demons, raised dead people. I mean, who wouldn't go get his stuff for him? I mean, I'd do whatever it took just so I could be around him. Wouldn't you? Well, all of a sudden, one day, he stripped himself down like a servant, and he started to wash people's feet. Just wash their feet. Something that the lowest servant in the household, that's their job, to wash people's feet. See, it was a sense of honor when you came to visit somebody and then they offered you water and then they would to wash your own feet. And then if it was really big time, I mean, they would get somebody to come and that servant would wash your feet. You know, they walked in sandals, it was in dust all the time, so they get dirty. Well, here Jesus took on that place of the lowest of the low, even though he was the highest of the high. But see, love enabled him to do that. See, he walked in a level of security that we need to try to get to where, you know, if we serve somebody else, doesn't mean that they're better than us. It just means that we love them. I choose to love you. It's my choice. See, the power of God and his infinite wisdom, and he's timeless, you know. You know, that love could see the cradle, but it could also see the cross, and it came anyway. See, Jesus Christ is all-knowing, just as much as the Father and the Spirit. You know, he was up there, and as sure as he could see that he had to limit himself and empty himself as a divine authority and give up all his power, I mean, that's bad enough. But he looked beyond the cradle, and he could see the cross. And that's what he knew where he had to go. That love sent him to the cross, and he came anyway. He knew full good and well that he was going to have to die a sinner's death. And he did it anyway. Because love compelled him. He walked in that kind of love, the God kind of love, you know, that you and I, you know, can tap into. So that's love in a cradle. And, you know, and as that sure as pure was, love was resting in that cradle, you know, the cradle could not contain it. You know? I mean, the cradle could not contain the love of God. It came out. He grew up. He went out doing works. And then he did the final work where he went to that cross. And, you know, everybody loves to see a little baby. You know, they just warm people up and, you know, just to see their little face and to be able to hold them and things like that, that love. You know, it's just amazing. But see, love also comes out and it's an action in each of our lives where we start to spread the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, God's plan is to get the love of God in the cradle of our heart. That's where it needs to be, the cradle of our heart. And, you know, many times, a lot of people, you know, they have a lot of pain. You know, we get wounded, don't we? We go through life and, you know, sometimes people aren't nice to us all the time. Sometimes maybe afflictions come our way. Sometimes maybe, you know, the people that are supposed to care for us don't care for us the way they should. So we have all that pain and, you know, and I'll be honest with you, the only thing that can heal it is God's love. You know, once you receive that, you know, just thinking about some of the pain that I had in life, you know, whatever it may be, and I'll be honest, most of my pain was self-inflicted pain. You know, I did a lot of painful things to myself. And it left a lot of pain in my heart, left a hole in my heart. But I'll tell you what, when I became born again, when I received that love, God's love came flooding to my heart. It was something that I could never experience, like something I couldn't understand. But it filled that void.
Amen.
It bridged that gap. It made it so I could get from where I'm at to where God's at.
Yes, thank you.
And what I finally understood is the fact that it wasn't me that made the bridge, that made the change. God made the bridge for me.
Yes.
Nobody ever loved me like that. Nobody that I can think of in my life would have done the things for me that Jesus Christ himself did for me. And understanding that love and receiving it, it just changes our life. See, you and I who are listening to me today all have a start date, don't we? You know, that born on date, whatever that date is. And then if you ever went to a cemetery, you see, you know, your born on date, you see the dash, and then you see your end date. Now, we don't know what our end date is, do we? For the most part, I don't think any of us do. So we have our born on date, dash, end date. What we need to understand is what we do in the dash that matters. It's that dash. Nobody knows how long that dash is. But it's what we do in that dash that's going to make a difference. And when you think about living our lives and the thing we have, it's a good time to get a refocus and a reboot. And we think about the love of Jesus Christ. It's a time of giving. It's a time of, you know, reaching out to those around us. I mean, just watching people who, you know, Bailey don't, you know, it's amazing. People that don't really take time for other people, this time of year they take time for them. This is that spirit of Christmas, a spirit not of Santa Claus, man. It's a spirit of Jesus Christ Christmas. I mean, that's what I'm about. And the idea of Christ. So, you know, as we're choosing today, let's choose to live a life that matters. And that matters not just to us, but to those around us by the power of God's love flowing through our heart to them. Amen. Let's pray.
Amen. Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah. Father God, we honor you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you that you came as a baby, but you're not a baby anymore. We thank you you grew up and you went to the cross. And you paid the price of our sins. And whoever believes in you will never be disappointed because that price has been paid in full. I want to give opportunity today for anybody here listening to my voice that maybe you're not really sure. You're not sure if you've ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart to be born again, or maybe you have and you know you need to reconsecrate or rededicate your life. I want to give you that opportunity today. This special time of Christmas, if you'd like to make your peace with God, the peace child, Jesus Christ, if you'd like to do that today, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Or maybe you have and you need to rededicate, you need to come back. You've fallen back and you know I need to, today's the day I'm going to turn things around. I want God to come in and take control again of my life. Don't put it off. Make that decision today. Amen. Just raise your hand if you'd like that. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to lead us all today in a prayer of recommitment to God. Hallelujah. Say,
Lord Jesus,
I thank you
that you are the King of kings and Lord of lords.
Right now,
I repent
of going my own way.
Going my own way. I ask you to be the king of my heart.
I surrender
my life to you.
Now you give your
life to me. By the power of your blood,
I am now free.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.